The comfort of your favorite seat is now your comfy car selling command center, thanks to Carvana.
It doesn't get any better than this.
Your favorite seat's the best spot in the house. Make it even better by entering your license plate or VIN and getting a real offer in minutes.
There really is no place like home.
And speaking of home, Carvana will pick up your car from yours after you finalize your offer. Visit Carvana.com or download the app and sell your car from your comfy place. That's not just the sound of that first sip of Morning Joe. It's the sound of someone shopping for a car on Carvana from the comfort of home.
That's a good blend.
It's time to take it easy, like answering some easy questions to get pre-qualified for a car in minutes.
Talk about starting the morning right.
Just like customizing your terms so your car fits your budget.
Mm-mm-mm.
Visit Carvana.com or download the app to experience car shopping the way it should be. Convenient, comfortable.
It's here. Peloton's best offer of the season. Get up to $300 off accessories when you purchase a Peloton Tread. Choose from accessories like a heart rate monitor, non-slip grip dumbbells, yoga blocks, and more. If you've been looking for a sign to join Peloton, this offer gives you everything you need to get going. Hurry, Peloton's best offer of the season is here, but not for long. Visit onepeloton.com to learn more. All access membership separate. Limited time offer cannot be combined with other offers. See additional terms at onepeloton.com.
Yeah, like, I can start recording and then have the video ready to go.
Okay.
It's kind of fun that way.
Get your socks on.
I'm trying my no-death socks.
Yes.
Oh, it's Friday. Hey, yay.
It is.
I'm excited about it.
Should we sing about it?
No, we're not singing about it. Why? Why in the world would I sing?
I don't know. Sing.
I do. Just awful. Because stutter and stuff. I don't know.
Start it is true.
But, oh.
Yeah, because you can't keep up with it. It's fine.
Yeah. It's all right. Keep making fun of me, woman. Yeah. We're starting the show. You're done. Welcome, everyone, to the Daily Cup of Genre, the show where we get to talk about everything in geek and pop culture news. Entertainment, Star Wars, Marvel, whatever. Brought to you by the good folks over at Grow Generation, where the pros get to grow. More on them a little bit later in the episode. LRMonline.com, genreverse.com, social media information down below. Please, if you're watching us on LRM's YouTube channel, hit the red subscribe button. We're really close to 5,000 subs. We need like 115 more. And it would be great if we could hit that before New Year's. So yeah, if you're not subscribed, please hit subscribe so you don't miss any of the awesome podcasts or celebrity interviews. Why are you staring at me?
I don't know. You're talking and.
I'm having
a weird morning. I don't know.
Indeed. Where was I? Oh, and of course, the LRM's Genreverse Podcast Network, wherever you get your podcast from, like Spotify, Google, Apple, SoundCloud, all of that. I'm Kyle Malone, apparently the only sane one today, and that's my wife, Christine. How you doing, baby?
I'm doing great.
Someone found my stash this morning.
No.
I told you that's supposed to be for the weekend. Nah. It's Friday, guys. You know, only got a couple episodes this week. We had a lot of appointments. I mentioned how we've got now Tuesday and Thursday appointments every day for our son, as well as me. And but they're at the same time, so we'll be figuring it out. And trying to get you guys as much content as regular as you can, as close to daily as we can, including maybe having to do some like pre-recorded segments and things like that.
Or recording late or something.
Yeah, recording late. We'll figure it out. Yes. Lots of things that we either have already watched or need to watch in order to get our job done. We got to watch Hawkeye yesterday. Yay. What'd you think of not yesterday, day before. What'd you think of that episode of Hawkeye?
It was awesome. Loved it.
Go ahead.
No, you tell me.
No, I love the episode. I just didn't care for the purple goo and purple smoke. Like, that's too on the nose. That's not quite tactical for all to be that
color.
Bright purple.
Yeah, but I did like the other arrows.
And I
don't
like the CGI. But yes, that was cool.
Yeah. As soon as you saw Pym, I'm like, oh, hell yes. So, yeah.
Yeah.
It was great.
Nick and I did our Marvel Multiverse Mayhem episode review, which you guys can catch on the podcast network or on our YouTube, and it's right there on the website. We also did Spider-Man Homecoming because we're leading up to No Way Home in 2 weeks. Homecoming still great, holds up real well as my second or third favorite Spider-Man film, depending on if you include Spider-Verse. Because it's Far From Home, and yes, I'm 100%, well, your camera can't look up that high right now, but 100% biased because it's Mysterio, followed by either Spider-Verse or Homecoming, and then Spider-Man 2, and then does anything else matter?
Not really.
No, not really. That's coming out in two weeks. I can't but believe that. It's crazy. Something we have to watch this weekend, so that way people can hear us talk on Monday about Wheel of Time. Episode 5 is out. Cam gave a review. I think it's Cam that does these usually. I don't want to spoil anything. Christine's not looking. I just want to see if it was him, because a lot of people are wanting to, you know, to talk about the show, which is great. Niggles, yeah, that's Cam. That's a Canadian word for like issues or something like that. Few bits and pieces that he has problems with. Okay. So it seems like it's a slower episode with a few, or maybe that's like. No, I'm thinking that's a negative thing. Anyways, we got that going on. You guys will be able to catch our Dragon Reviewed podcast, which covers the Wheel of Time on Mondays. And then anime this weekend. Saturday we'll be recording for Sunday's release. Miyako-chan is releasing on Sundays, but Brian's not always available to record on Sundays. So this week you guys will get Weathering With You, which...
And I can't wait.
He's never seen.
Which is weird, but he's going to see it.
Yes, yes. Makoto Shinkai's done amazing movies most people only know of. Your Name and Weathering With You, but there's others, including the heart-wrenching, 10 centimeters a second or 8 centimeters a second. Anyways, that one, but Weathering is like... It's as good as Your Name in many ways, but it's happier.
Yes. It's also my wallpaper on my computer.
Yeah. So
I love it so much.
It is. And I get to interview via email, but still interview Radwimps, the band that did the music for both of those movies that we mentioned. So,
yes, yeah. You're very lucky.
You know, just kind of like looking around the news for the last day and this morning as we're recording, not too much has hit. I know, Christine, that piece isn't about what's the show?
Carnival Row.
Carnival Row.
About Cara Delevingne.
But you and I are both wishing that show would hurry up and come out. Brian
yes.
really liked Only Murders in the Building, and so did several of the people there at LRM.
I haven't gotten a chance to try it
yet. Yeah, we haven't gotten around. I hear it's hilarious.
Yeah, I know. It freaking sucks that there's like so many things that, you know, just my list keeps piling up in my head and I'm losing track.
Between things we have to watch things that we need or want to watch.
Exactly. And some things it's like I've just gotten so far behind and...
Or you're burned out on that particular topic from other things or
yeah,
that type of... Not topic, but that
genre.
Ha-ha, genre. Like a cup of genre that could be anything at any time.
Are you done?
No. Yes. Turner and Hooch canceled. I like the picture you snipped out of that.
Yeah.
No surprise to me. honestly.
I don't know. The trailer was cute. And then, like, I put on there the IMDb reviews, and people were talking where it was like, it's pretty much just for kids. Like, you know, they just didn't get a chance to enjoy it. And it's like, that sucks.
That's what I'm, you know, kind of saying, like, on the last episode or earlier this week when we were talking about, you know, kids and things aimed at kids versus things aimed at adults. And it's, I mean, look, there are ways
to do both.
And there's ways to completely alienate them. But the problem with Turner and Hooch, though, is one, you made it a soft sequel.
Mm-hmm.
Two, it's from a very loved film, but it's not like I wouldn't even call it a cult classic. It's a Tom Hanks movie that everyone over the age of 30 knows, likes, and enjoys, but it's not one that Lucas has been hyped to watch with us.
True.
You know, and I don't know. There's no real big nostalgia connection other than you like the movie. Like, it's not a it's not an essential 80s or 90s movie. It's a good Tom Hanks movie. You know what I'm saying? Other than the aesthetics that you see, nothing dates it. Mm-hmm. You know? I mean, you would think that it could have worked if it had been made today, but to rehash it, to sequel it, I didn't know.
It's just a history repeats itself. He inherits a dog. Scott Turner, his son, Scott Turner, inherits a French Mastiff, and, you know, it's the same thing, romantic interest. And so it was like, this may be good, not like, you know, something huge, but I thought, you know, oh, this might be cute, you know, I might like it. But yeah, now I'm kind of like, I don't know, if because I even put in there my 30-year-old ass might not like this. You know, it's 33. Sorry,
What do you think about, because even the original Turner and Hooch had, and I guess I can go ahead and transition out of that. The original Turner and Hooch had I don't want to say adult content, but there's obviously adult jokes in there.
Yeah.
They did try to play off of Tom Hanks's sex appeal, because apparently he was considered to be a sexy dude back in the day. I mean, whatever, but you show him in his underwear for a bit. You know, they had a habit of doing that in movies back in the day with dudes, and then I think Michael J. Fox and his undies and things like that. It's a simple. What the hell, dog?
Leave the cat
it's
alone.
A simple movie. It's a good movie, but there's just nothing. There's nothing really like kid about it. You're mm-hmm. dealing with a murdered guy. You're dealing with some innuendo. You know, like Turner's dog Hooch getting it on with the vet's dog, Turner having interest in the veterinarian herself. There's sensuality. It is a family movie with parental guidance recommended, right?
For older kids,
right? Yeah, and then if you just come at everything and just lowest common denominator for not just family friendly, but kid friendly. I mean, I want to say that a lot of people don't want to watch that, but then I look at stuff like Ghostbusters Afterlife and Stranger Things, which is fine on its own.
There's plenty,
but there's so much of that stuff going on.
Yeah,
so it kind of makes sense that some of it is going to get burned.
Yeah, and then, like, when it comes to stuff that is catered to kids, there are people who are adults that enjoy that. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of Disney movies. You know, there's people who, you know, still have that Disney magic in them, even older. May not be as potent as it was when you were younger, but it's still there. People still love, you know, going to the parks, watching the old movies, watching new movies. You know, they just... there's people out there who are huge fans of Disney and stuff like that. And so it's like, you know, there could be some adults that like it, but I just, there's not, probably not going to be a lot if so many reviews were talking about how it's like, it's for kids kind of thing.
Yeah. Well, my biggest, like, I guess concern on it is like I said, just the lack of content for adults, or just, and I don't mean mature as in like X rated or even R rated. I just mean mature content, like content that's not just slapstick. That's not just fart jokes. You know, you can have a great mature family show, you know, with comedy, with balanced slapstick, with a balanced fart joke every now and then, because that stuff is funny. Like I said, people will hear me, well, you're saying, oh, it's like Stranger Things, like that's a bad thing. Well, if there was only one thing doing it in addition to Stranger Things, no, it wouldn't be a bad thing. But everyone's doing it. You know, everyone's on the nostalgia trip. Everyone's on the, you know, grab the low-hanging fruit and and appeal to the simplest part of us. And like I said, I know I hear people like us getting frustrated with it, but unfortunately, it just seems like a lot of people are just, whatever. I'm okay with mediocre.
Mm.
And I'm not. Anyways, I wanted to transition to a conversation that is near and dear to my heart, and I'm not quite sure how you're going to feel about going into this, because you and I actually feel quite the same. And you know, I got some Christmas lights out on the back on the anime gaming shelf. I got some red and green LED lights, you know, up there changing around. I wore my Green Ranger hoodie, and then I got my Christmas hat, because Christina, it's time to discuss what makes a Christmas movie.
Ah, fun. Or show, because I mean, I'm looking at Hawkeye right there.
Yeah, and you ruined my segue, because I was going to say, after a word from our sponsors.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Grow Generation, where the pros go to grow. For all of your cultivation needs, Grow Generation has the right products, service and staff to make your grow successful. Go to www.growgeneration.com, where the pros go to grow.
And thank you guys so much for sponsoring the episode. Christine, Christmas movie, East Christmas shows. Let's stick with movies for the most part. One of the biggest arguments people always want to have is whether or not Die Hard is a Christmas movie. Well,
it only gets half a point.
It takes place on Christmas, okay?
Oh.
And so did Iron Man 3. That's not a Christmas movie. It has ho 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 and Christmas music in it. Okay, again, it's set during Christmas.
Hmm.
He's trying to save his family. He's already there. Like, yeah, he's trying to stop a hostage situation. There's no I'll be home for Christmas moment, right? Die Hard's not a Christmas movie, is it?
No.
Like, what makes a Christmas movie to you? What, when you sit down and you're like, okay.
It's got to vomit green and red, you know? It's like, you know, it's
is it
not just
looks.
Well, not just that. I'm just saying, like, you know, they're talking about it often.
Mm-hmm.
The background setting, you know, you've got, you know, festive, like a festive set going on, talking about Christmas stuff. Like, because like what we're watching right now with Hawkeye, I mean, you see it in the background, but he's constantly talking, I'm trying to get home for Christmas. Mm-hmm. You know,
which is a common theme in real life,
yes.
And in movies, trying to get home for the holidays. Yeah.
It's talked about often, not just, oh, it just happens to be there. Now, if it's like a Christmas tradition for you to watch it,
mm-hmm. Yeah,
you know, that's fine. That's your Christmas tradition. But I mean, it only gets half a point. it just does.
I'm big into where setting time and setting is important, like you said, aesthetics. That's one of the main reasons Iron Man 3 doesn't impress me as a Christmas movie. The overwhelming majority of the time, there's nothing. There's a little bit of Starkish decorations at his Malibu home, the big teddy bear, a little bit of snow out in Tennessee, and then that's it.
Yeah.
That's it. He mentions that it's Christmas. Take him to church and that's it. It's not a Christmas movie.
It's not putting you in a Christmas festive spirit. Mood. Yeah.
And even with, because Die Hard has a lot more Christmas background than that, admittedly. So it's got more Christmas music, more Christmas decorations, but there's no traditional, and I'll go with secular Christmas themes, not just religious, but there's no home for the holidays, no gift giving, no you could say self-sacrifice, but he's a cop, like that's his job. Like,
yeah,
it's not really like the I'm gonna give up no gift of the magi type thing, you know, give up something for someone else. There's no feeling of family other than, yeah, he's trying to save his wife, but that's any setting. Like if you take the Die Hard and you put it on Halloween night with just the exact same stuff, the exact same level of Halloween as you get Christmas here. Would I consider Die Hard to be a Halloween movie? No. It would be an action movie.
Yeah, there's that Christmas party just at the beginning. It's Christmas time, mm-hmm. but it's not the focus.
Right.
So, and because of that, that's why it gets half a point. I wouldn't even give half a point to the Iron Man movie. Like, that just, like, to me, it has even less.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. I made a joke. With you, I was like, you know, if I take a shit during Christmas and film it and I publish it as an artistic piece, is that a Christmas movie? If literally it's just me taking a number two with a Christmas hat on, is it now a Christmas movie? No. It just happened to be a really odd, awful art piece done during Christmas, although someone would be like, I am amazed at the statement he's making on the commercialization of Christmas by taking a dump on it. Nah, dude, I just wanted to prove that it's not a Christmas movie just because it takes place during it.
God, you're so weird.
But am I? I mean, like I said, yeah. I love Halloween, right?
Yes.
And Halloween, there are Halloween movies that are based on the holiday, you think Hocus Pocus, yeah. Trick or Treat, right?
They're trick or treating. There's a Halloween party,
right?
You know, there's yeah.
But usually during Halloween, we watch horror movies, which can come out in any time. There's Christmas horror movies. I wouldn't consider it a Halloween movie. You could watch it because it's scary, but it is in and of itself more Christmas. You take Krampus for example. That's more Christmas movie than the Die Hard.
Yeah. Yeah, because there's, like you were talking about with horror movies, there are Halloween horror movies and there's just horror movies.
Mm-hmm.
Like Trick or Treat and then Halloween.
Yeah.
Call it. Yeah, so it's like, you know, there's stuff like that. But yeah.
So
you're right.
Well, I mean, that's always a given. But you and I are on the same page on this. I just I don't get how, because it's set there. That was like when Nick Dahl, the co-host over at Marvel Multiverse Mayhem, wanted to say that Spider-Man is a Thanksgiving movie. Because the big, you know, ding-dong moment for Norman happens at Thanksgiving dinner, and there's the Thanksgiving Day parade. I'm like, dude, big whoop. Like, what else is Thanksgiving about that movie? It just takes place during it, you know?
Before, during, and after. And during is just that small part kind of thing. Okay, I see what you're doing.
Yeah, I'm looking something up. I wanted to just bring up some Christmas horror movies, because that's one of the, you know, we love horror movies and we love Christmas movies, like real Christmas movies, like the Santa Claus, Nightmare Before Christmas is better. Yeah, I'm gonna transition it over. Okay. So
there you go.
Looking here at IMDb, they got this list: 28 Christmas horror movies ranked best to worst. I don't see an author on it, but you guys can see the link here. Let me zoom out a bit. Jack Frost. Yeah, I can kind of get it. Not really as much. No, I didn't want to do that. Yeah, we'll go away. ATM, don't know that. Black Christmas, of course, very very much. Silent Night, Deadly Night 2, haven't seen that. Another version of Black Christmas, didn't see the 2019 version. The original Silent Night, Deadly Night, yeah, I can agree with that. Red Christmas, saw once, intoxicated during military training. Don't remember.
I haven't seen it.
I'm guessing it's probably more Christmas than Die Hard. The Ginger Dead Man. I like that. What about the Ginger Dread Man? Or is dead better? Because bread.
Either. Dread, yeah. Dread. Either one would work.
New Silent, or 2012. No, I don't think I saw that one. If this is the Krampus that was on Netflix, then I definitely saw that one, which was decent. Anna and the Apocalypse. Haven't seen that one. Christmas Horror Story. Gremlins. Now there's a good one. Gremlins is definitely
it's a Christmas
movie.
All over the place.
All
in that movie.
Over. And it's a good creepy movie. It's not the scariest thing in the world, but yeah, I'll say Gremlins is that's a Christmas movie.
Yes,
more Christmas than fucking Die Hard. Better Watch Out and Rare Exports of Christmas Tale. Didn't see that one.
Me neither.
There's a really good book. You know, Krampus is one of those characters that of course gets pulled to do a lot of Christmas horror movies,
yeah.
Or stories, just because, you know, beats the fuck out of kids for misbehaving. I love Krampus, Grandpa Smith in American Dad,
yeah.
When he takes over as Krampus. But Brom did a really good book dealing with Krampus, the Yule Lord. That's an awesome book. I suggest everyone check out. Yeah, you know. What are your go-to Christmas movies, basically? That's what I want to know now.
Oh, well,
I mean, I already know, but they don't.
Yeah, like, normally I don't go with horror for Christmas movies.
Yeah, no,
except
I meant
for the one, but, well, I was just saying, because, you know,
Gremlins.
Just,
yeah.
Yeah, transitioning. But yeah, like, you know, A Muppet Christmas Carol is one. What else do we watch?
Scrooged, the Santa Claus, Nightmare.
Yeah, Nightmare Before Christmas, obviously. We get to watch that twice a year.
Home Alone, one
yes,
and two.
Definitely.
No other Home Alones, and that's another remake that they completely
it's not doing well.
Just re-kitified above and beyond, like.
Yeah, wasn't needed. Shouldn't have been done. And the guy, like, the kid just seemed like a jerk. I mean, yeah, you shouldn't break into someone's home, but, like, because they were talking about trying to get something back that was theirs, and it's like, call the police, you know? And then this kid, it's like, so, yeah, it's like, I haven't seen it yet, but it's like, kind of, I'm wondering, it's like, who stole whatever item, and why is this kid being an ass? You know, because it's like
I want to know if they actually threatened to kill the kid, like Marv and Harry do in the original.
No, because in the trailer they're, you know, like, you know, kind of upset that they're doing it. Not we're bad guys. It's
see,
just more like
again, why
yeah
why
like
can't we
I can't believe
have,
we're doing this kind of
why can't we have fucking bad guys. Why can't we have bad guys, people? Yes. I'm serious on this.
Stop with the gray area so much.
I talked about it a bit with Cam about the cantina, and I think I mentioned it with you about like when Ed Brubaker was like, you know, when I asked him, you know, why did you go back to making Magneto a bad guy in Uncanny 500? Because Magneto is a bad guy. We need bad guys, but today it seems like every bad guy has to be relatable and sympathetic, and you can't just have an evil fucker. And I miss that. Like, yeah. Why can't we just have a bad guy?
Well, I mean, they are doing pretty soon. Boston Strangler is coming out.
Well, that's
a true story.
Yeah, so
I'm just saying, like, you still get some of it, but again, it's another movie, because I mean, there's been multiple movies on multiple serial killers. Like, yeah. how many has Ted Bundy gotten?
Yeah, he had like two in 1 year.
Yeah, John Wayne Gacy. Mm-hmm. You know, there's been so many where that's happened, and then of course, you know, for some horror movies, you know, they take some, you know, like take a little bit from truth, and then it's like, let's make it our own kind of thing. So yeah, like, I mean, there's not enough, but like for Home Alone, I mean, they were bad guys.
Yeah.
Yes, but it was
still funny.
Funny, and, yes.
But they were bad. They did bad. They were going to hurt him. They were going to
exactly.
kill him. Yeah. I don't.
People are soft.
They are, and the lack of resiliency. Everyone can try to make some debates, but I hate to tell you guys, the kids do a lot more violent things after a generation of coddling, and you can do it. You can be anything. Where your emotions on your sleeve. You know, resiliency isn't good. Let's protect them from ever facing adversity. You look at today, and kids are doing way more, not worse things, because guys, I hate to tell you this, but kids committing crimes goes back to the earliest days of kids and laws. I mean, it's just human nature, but it happens more as more people are faced with this upbringing that doesn't build resiliency, and then our entertainment is suffering for it, because people just couldn't deal with the idea of a bad guy.
Mm-hmm.
They need something to make sympathetic. Also, they want to sell toys, and I get that, but I bought toys of bad guys. Like, I bought Darth Vader toys. He's a bad guy through the entire movie until
yeah,
the
and you
very,
understand
very end.
What exactly he
and
is.
Exactly.
You know?
And I've never played with my Vader toy as the redeemed Vader. He was always Darth fucking Vader doing bad things.
Yep.
So, like, come on now. And Shredder, I never made Shredder a good guy.
Yeah.
My ghosts outside of Slimer with my Ghostbusters action figure, they were never good guys. My G.I. Joes. Cobra Commander and his crew were not sympathetic. They were terrorists.
Yeah.
Trying to destroy everything great about the United States of America. And they were bad guys.
Mm-hmm.
No sympathy. I bought those toys. Played with them.
Yeah. Like, it doesn't make sense that you would want to do that with your bad guys in any kind of project. Entertainment project, because it's like, why would you do that?
Yeah. Any,
I will, like for example, that God, I haven't even thought about this in a long time. That criminal, the good looking one that all the ladies were
the
swooning over,
model felon or whatever he was called. Yeah.
It's like, no, he's a bad guy. Stop it.
Stop it. Get some help.
Yeah.
Anyways, last kind of story for the day, I wanted, cause I just saw this, ladies and gentlemen, it should be no surprise to you that Kang the Conqueror is going to be an Ant-Man and the Wasp, because, well, it was announced before we even saw Jonathan Majors, right? Yeah. And, Loki, but we've actually gotten allegedly some early look via some advertising or merchandise. This tweet, I can't do the damn.
You can read.
Thank you. Yeah. Anyways, Kang's reflection in a broken Ant-Man mask. Like, that's kind of cool looking. Like, ooh, yes. Wow, that's the stunt team shirt. I like that. And if you look closely, if I can zoom in on it, let's see. Now you punk, you won't let me do what I want to do. Anyways, you look close enough and you can see that it's got the like classic helmet look on it. And I can't say for certain, but that doesn't look like, you know, black African-American skin. It looks like there might be a good blue tinge there. What do you think?
Probably.
I was always been curious because they've had so many blue people. Like, do we really need King to be blue? I know some comic purists will be very, very happy if he is, whether it's at
it's so dark,
a short
really tell,
period.
But yeah.
But I don't know. I'm getting up.
There you go.
I don't know. It looks like it might be like a steely gray.
But it looks like really dark.
Yeah. I'll be interested. Because like I said, they've got so many blue people right now. Do we really need another one? Not that I think the average person will get confused or anything like that. But
there's other colors of the rainbow.
You know, there was a thing about why blue was used so much, and I'm sure it has something to do with costs and ink and something about way human eyes are. Certain colors you don't want a whole bunch of on screen. Red and yellow is hard to do. Mm. And yeah, you got Iron Man and stuff like that, but those use metallic gold and different shades, and yada yada. But I had wondered if they would use, like, when his helmet was on, like a blue tinted visor, and then whenever it's up, he wouldn't have any makeup or anything like that. I do wish though it's hard to change because if it's blue in the comics, Kang or anyone, you might be like, man, it'd be great if we could change this to a red or orange or something just to add some diversity of color from Yondu and Nebula and potentially Kang and
we've had green and we've had pink.
Oh yeah, the servant girl and Barit from Guardians, yeah, and they had a few with yellow skin, the robots at the brothel place,
yeah,
in Guardians 2. Not that they have it. I'm saying is like when you have so many like blue characters in the source that are leads, right?
Yeah, you're looking at like Beast and Mystique, and you know, so blue is used
exactly. And then think about blue in costumes: Captain America, the Fantastic Four, the X-Men. So yeah, that was just one of my things. Like, this is a chance to do, you know, something unique, something different. And we already knew they were willing to use at least one Kang variant, the He Who Remains, with no blue makeup, although they used blue filter lights and stuff. So that's what I'm wondering still, because it's hard to see in the image, but could it be just like a blue filtered visor? So we'll see.
Yeah, like a...
I like the fact he's got the helmet on and it looks like some glowy eyes.
Yes.
Oh. That's
cool.
Any other comments on this picture that I just brought back up one more time so people could see the glowy eyes I was talking about?
No.
Did you? I mean, I'm a huge fan of both Ant-Man and the Wasp films. What about, or both Ant-Man and then Ant-Man and the Wasp? Like,
I thought
feel
that they
they're
were
underrated.
Hilarious. Yeah. They're hilarious. They're great.
See, I zoomed in more this time. It would let me.
See, what see now it's like, just so, that, yeah.
Like, steel, like, I don't know. Because that's also just, like, the reflection of the damn helmet itself. But that's the classic looking helmet. I don't think it's going to be a visor. I don't know. We'll see. We're trying to break down shit. We don't need to break down that freaking deep. But I tell you what, we do need to do is go ahead and wrap up this episode. So you guys can please do check out LRMonline.com, and then genreverse.com goes right here as well. But we are working on our new stuff for that. You can click on the shows over here. Bring those up. Our podcast network, Genreverse Podcast Network, wherever you get those from, Google, Spotify, Apple, all of our shows go up here, guys. And then all of that and more go onto LRM's YouTube channel. Celebrity interviews. We had Lily Rose Depp the other day. Yeah, right there. We've had a lot of big names throughout the year. Daniel Day Kim was here. Dolph Lundgren was there. I mean, in person Zoom, red carpet even gig was at an event just a couple weeks ago for that, and even some in person on set stuff. So yeah. Great things to check out. Please like, share, subscribe, thumbs up, down, leave some comments or reviews on Apple if you do that type of thing. Christine, anything else you wanted to say?
No. There's nothing. Looking forward to Wheel of Time.
Yes. Yeah. Yep. So, yep. All right, guys. We'll talk to you later. Bye.
Mary redeemed a $50,000 cash prize playing Chumba Casino online.
I was only playing for fun, so winning was a dream come true.
Chumba Casino is America's favorite free online social casino. You, too, could have the chance to win life-changing cash prizes. Absolutely anybody could be like Mary. Be like Mary. Log on to ChumbaCasino.com and play for free now. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18-plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details. The voice in the preceding commercial was not the actual voice of the winner.
That's not just the sound of that first sip of Morning Joe. It's the sound of someone shopping for a car on Carvana from the comfort of home.
That's a good blend.
It's time to take it easy, like answering some easy questions to get pre-qualified for a car in minutes.
Talk about starting the morning right.
Just like customizing your terms so your car fits your budget.
Mm-mm-mm.
Visit Carvana.com or download the app to experience car shopping the way it should be. Convenient, comfortable. Ah.
Man, that sunset is gorgeous.
Grill, patio, sunset. Hard to get better than that. Unless you're browsing Carvana's inventory while you soak it all in.
Oh, burger time.
So sit back, get comfortable. Carvana's got thousands of cars under $20,000 just waiting for you.
I could stay here forever.
Carvana, where car buying meets comfort meets convenience. Download the app or visit Carvana.com today.